I tread on serpents and scorpions on a daily. I stand and walk in authority that he gave me. I'm a reflection of God, so watch me be the light. It's time that we show the world that Jesus is alive.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Teaching Thursdays. I'm your teacher for the evening, Pastor BJ Piggy. Thank y'all so much for joining us. And we thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule tonight. And anytime you decide to take time out of your schedule on a Thursday night to spend time with us, to spend time around the Word of God. Listen, we appreciate you guys so much. We love you guys so much. And again, man, we just appreciate you guys for showing up, because without you, we wouldn't be able to do everything that we're doing. And so thank y'all again so much from the bottom of our heart. Listen, it's almost time for us to be spending time with the family. It's almost Christmas time. I was laughing earlier when I was working out, because I was talking with one of the trainers and I was just like, man, it doesn't even feel like Christmas time. But man, I'm here to tell you that it's almost time for us to celebrate our Savior, the birth of our Savior, because that is the reason for the season. And we should never, ever take that lightly. We should never, ever take that for granted, because Jesus is the reason for the season. We should never, ever forget that at all. Amen. The reason why we give gifts, the reason why we celebrate, the reason why we as believers recognize December 25th is because Jesus was born. Now, he wasn't born on the 25th. I want to make that plain and clear. Nobody actually knows the date that Jesus was actually born, but it was around this time. And due to that, we just take the 25th to recognize that Jesus, we just take the 25th to recognize the birth of our Lord and Savior. Now, I know it's been commercialized. I know it's been all about Santa Claus, and it's all about trees, and it's all about all these other things, spending money. But I'm here to let you guys know that even though the world tries to make that attempt, that doesn't mean that that's the route that we have to take. That doesn't mean that's the route that we have to go. We don't have to go into debt just to have a great Christmas. We don't have to spend money on things that we can't even afford just to say we celebrated the holiday. No, we are believers in Jesus. And because the reason that we celebrate is Jesus Christ and that alone, that should be reason enough to have us celebrate on Christmas. If we give gifts or if we don't give gifts, right? Even if we have the money to spend or don't have the money to spend, listen, your celebration should be about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? Let's just leave it at that. That's the end all be all of that. Don't get caught up in the commercialism, because what will end up happening is you'll find yourself depressed when you can't meet the expectations of what the world says you're supposed to be able to do, have gifts under the tree and all these other kinds of things. Listen, your expectation, your standard by which you celebrate Christmas should be based on what Jesus has given you. It should be based on how you celebrate Jesus. It should be based on you recognizing who the true Savior of the world is. It should be based on that and that alone. Again, don't get pulled into that commercialism. Don't get pulled into all these other things to feel pressure to do things that you can't, that you don't have the ability to do. Don't get caught up in that, man, because all that's going to do is bring more pressure and weigh you down and give the enemy place to bring havoc into your life, to give the enemy place to wreak havoc, you know, because, you know, he's pretty good at, once you get yourself down in a depressive state, he's real good at bringing the hammer down even harder than where you're bringing it on yourself for. So don't allow yourself to get in that position. Allow yourself to just love on Jesus, love on your family, spend time with your family, and recognize and keep at the forefront of your thinking that Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. All right. Now that we got that out of the way, let us go ahead and get ready to jump right into our teaching for tonight. Now, I want to take a quick second and I want to take a quick second and remind everybody that it's almost the end of 2023. I mean, well, it is the end of 2023. And basically, we talked about last week how 2023 isn't over yet. And we're in the middle of this series, and we're going to go over two more weeks of this before we begin another series at the beginning of the year. But I want to really focus in these last 2 weeks on hitting home that it doesn't take God a long time to do anything. And because it doesn't take God a long time to do anything, when you get a revelation of that, all you have to do is step in position and step into the place that he has for you. You can still receive the things that you've been waiting on all year, because God can redeem the time. We talked about that last week. We talked about how God was a time stopper. We went through all these different things to begin to give you a big picture or a better picture of who God is. And God is still, because that's the title of this series that we're in. The title of this series that we're in is God is Still. And the reason why there's points of ellipsis in the title of the series where it says God is Still is because that is a place where you can put in anything that you remember God to be. And so we're going to go through some more of those tonight, because we started talking about some of those last week. But we're going to go over some more tonight so that you can continue to get a broader and broader picture, excuse me, of God is still these things. But you have to, we really have to get to the point where we have to know that God has already done everything that he's going to do. God has already set in motion what he needs to set in motion to live the lives that he has called us to live. God didn't make a promise to you and not make a way for that promise to come to pass. Just like he didn't promise us salvation and then give us Jesus so we can get saved, right? So likewise, if God promised you anything, if he promised you a job, if he promised you a car, if he promised you health, if he promised you wealth, whatever he took, a child coming home, a child getting saved, whatever he promised you, freedom from whatever you need freedom from, addictions, depression, whatever the case may be, whatever God promised you, There is no promise that God did not already make a way for, or otherwise he wouldn't have given the promise. And so when you begin to understand it and you begin to hear, this is what God wants to do in my life, this is who God is, when you keep that at the forefront of your thinking, you begin to allow yourself to be directed into the path that God has called. And when you begin to walk the path that God has called for your life, then along that path, you will find the things that God has promised you. But it's not this thing of, you know, because we hear things like God is a waymaker or God is a miracle worker. And we sit back and we just expect God to do everything, you know, as if we don't have a responsibility to play. We just want to sit back and allow God to be this genie. We make a request. God is the genie, so God's just going to fulfill the request. The truth of it is that when God told you about it, he had already settled that thing from the beginning. So it wasn't a matter of God trying to create something. It's not a matter of us waiting on God to do something, because watch this. When God created the heavens and the earth, excuse me, when God created the earth, everything was already set up before man even showed up on the scene. Excuse me. God spent 5 days creating an earth. Let's talk about it for just a second. God spent 5 days creating an earth before the sixth day he brought man on the scene to enjoy the thing that he created. And so when you go and look at the thing, and when you go and look at stories like that in Genesis, you have to pay attention to stuff like that. And it's important that you pay attention to stuff like that, because when you don't recognize that God has already laid out the path, when you don't recognize that God has already done it, when you don't recognize that all we have to do is step up to the plate, we continue to, excuse me, put off on God. I need a drink of water. We continue to put off on God what is our responsibility. We continue to put off on God what's our responsibility. And what I want to not have us do is continue to not have the blame in the proper place. And I'm not trying to weigh down on anyone. I just want us to realize, and it's a beautiful thing to realize, I'm not talking down to anybody. I'm not talking down to myself, because a lot of times it can get frustrating when you realize that you're talking to a perfect Savior and a perfect Lord and a perfect God. And the only one that could be faulting in this relationship is yourself, because he's already set up everything. So what I have to continuously remind myself of is that, man, if he's already made the way, if everything's already taken care of, all I got to do is get in line and everything will fall into place the way it needs to be. And if things are not falling into place, it's either one of two things. Either I haven't made it to my destination on the proper path that I'm already on, that God has set me on, excuse me, or I need to get on the path that he's trying to get me to. Are you listening to me? So, and again, I know it can get frustrating, and I'm just, I'm trying to go through the thought process of myself and the thought process of a lot of other people, because for a long time, you can think that, man, I'm waiting on God to take care of this thing. I'm waiting on this. I'm waiting on that. When you begin to study the scripture out and you begin to look at it from God's point of view, you will see that he's already taken care of this. You will see that all you have to do is get in position. And when you get in position, the things will start flowing the way they need to flow. I hope that makes sense. I really do. I hope and pray that makes sense, because again, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to bash. That's a better word, because I'm not trying to come down hard on anybody. I'm not even trying to come down hard on myself. But there is a point that we have to get to where we have to look at the situation and be like, man, I mean, if anybody's going to be at fault, it's not going to be God. It has to be me, or I'm not paying attention to a situation enough to deal with it the way God wants me to deal with it. And so, again, we have to begin to identify in our lives as we go through understanding these things, if God is still all of these things, as we go through this understanding, we have to realize that, man, we have to come up to the, we have to step up to the plate. God wants us to come up to where he is and not us continuing to stay where we are. And again, as I was meditating on this part of the message, God began to really talk to me again about, because I've talked about it extensively throughout these last several weeks, or these last few weeks rather, that it's about us getting in position. Because when God is asking us questions, it's not because he's trying to get us, he's not trying to gather information for himself. He's trying to get you to see something. He's trying to get you to understand something. So if he asks you a simple question like he did me, BJ, do you still believe? It's not a matter of him trying to figure out whether I believe or not. He already knows. The question is, do I know if I'm still believing or not? Because God is trying to position me. It's not him trying to get an understanding. It's me needing to get an understanding, or me needing to get a revelation or realization of where I am in this process, so that I can either stay there or get back on track. All right. So God is trying to get us to come up to where he is. He's trying to get us to come to where he is and not us continuing to stay in this same place. Things are already done. God has already taken care of these things. So when we say God is a miracle worker, when we say God is a time stopper, when we say God will redeem the time, he has already set these things in place. But if we don't get ourselves in position, we won't experience the redemption of time. If we don't get in position, we won't experience the miracle that God has on that path. If we don't get in position, we won't experience the time being stopped so that the word can come to pass in our life, like we talked about last week. With God still being these things, it's for us to realize and understand that if God is still this, and if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, if he's that, then what do I need to do, or what needs to be done, or am I missing something to where I'm not experiencing the things I'm needing to experience or God wants me to experience? And I know I'm trying to explain it several different ways, or I may be even repeating myself, but I really want you guys to understand that it's really a matter of us getting in position. It's really a matter of us making sure that we're lining ourselves up with His word and not anything else. Us lining up with His word and not lining up with anything else should be the thing that we are on a steady journey of doing. What we wake up daily to try to make sure that we're doing, making sure that we're thankful, making sure that we're praying, making sure that we're loving on people. All of those different things that God is calling us to do, we have to make sure and be intentional about doing those things so we can stay on the path. Because if we don't stay on the path, again, we'll be out of that position. And even though God is still all of these things that we made a declaration over and what we're going to teach on these next couple of weeks, last week and the next 2 weeks, we won't be able to experience Him because we'll be out of position. All right. So my desire is that you guys not be out of position so that we can stay in position and receive the things that God would have us to receive. Amen. So we're in week number 4 of God is Still. As y'all can see at the bottom of the screen, God is Still, part 4. So since we're in part 4, again, y'all can see this is week number 4. And so we've been on this for 4 weeks now. And so we're going to dig into it a little bit more. And I pray you guys can stick in here with me so that we can get some more revelation, so that we can come up to the place where God wants us to come up. Amen. He's not waiting on us. We're not waiting on Him. He's waiting on us. I said that wrong. He is waiting on us. We are not waiting on Him. Well, BJ, you said God is still a redeemer of time. You said God is still a miracle worker. How come God hasn't given me the miracle? Are you in position to receive the miracle? Have you done your part to connect to the miracle? For instance, let me just give you this real easy example before we go on. God desires for everybody to be saved. He desires for everybody to be saved, but everybody won't be saved because they won't make the decision to get saved. Everybody will have the opportunity. Everybody will be presented with the gospel. Everybody that has an opportunity to be presented with the gospel, it's up to them to make the choice. Now, is it God's fault that we didn't receive the gift that He's so graciously given us if we didn't even receive it? How is it my fault if I have $100 I want to give you and I come to you and say, hey, I just want to bless you with $100, but yet you don't open your hand up to receive, or you block or say, no, I don't want to receive it, but yet you're upset that you had a need of $30, but just $100 was just presented to you. You can't get upset at the fact that you now don't have you now can't take care of the $30 need when the need was already met with $100. God has presented all of these things. God has already laid out everything He needs to lay out in order for us to receive. We just have to make sure, again, going back to the example of salvation, excuse me, Jesus has already done everything He's going to do. Jesus has done everything that He's going to do where salvation is concerned. He died once and for all. So if you don't accept that sacrifice, how can you get mad at Jesus for not being saved? That's the question. How can you get mad at Jesus for not being saved when He sacrificed once and for all, and all you have to do is receive Him? So likewise with everything else, how can you get mad at God because you don't have the finances when He asked you to sow that seed so that He can give you a harvest? How can you get mad at God? You didn't position yourself. How can you get mad at God for That's just a quick example that came to my head. How can you get mad at not receiving your healing when he told you to stop eating X, Y, and Z, but you're mad you're still experiencing the same symptoms, but you haven't stopped eating X, Y, and Z? Those are the things that you have to be aware of and you have to be intentional about so that you can receive the things that God will have for you to receive. And again, a lot of times people don't like talking to people about this. They just rather give them the pie in the sky. God's going to do it. This is your year of breakthrough. Well, it could be your year of breakthrough if you obey what he's telling you to do. This could be the year of glory for you if you get in position to where he wants you to be in position. See, sometimes, and I'm not going to say all, but I've been in places and I've heard people and I've been guilty of it at times to just tell people that all these good things are going to happen. And it does a disservice to you to tell you that all these good things are going to happen when we don't give you the other part. If we don't give you the other part, how can you find yourself experiencing the goodness of God when you also have a part to play? You can't just come in and say this is going to be, because what's going to end up happening is you're going to end up frustrated when the thing doesn't happen. You're going to end up frustrated and mad at God when God isn't the one you should be mad at. Actually, you shouldn't be mad at all. You should just get in position so God can give you what needs to be given to you, so you can receive the thing that God wants you to receive. So with all of these things already done, everything's already set, God's not changing his mind about it. You know, there's a song. Man, I forgot who sings that song. Come on in where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord, where the feast of the Lord is truly going on. I believe those are the words. The scripture, because the scripture, I believe, is in Luke 14, where it's talking about that, or where that song derived from. Come on in where the table is spread. The Lord has prepared a feast for those that he wants to have. God basically has prepared a feast for us. But the scripture is saying, come on in where the table is spread. Well, if you don't come on in, how can you get upset that you're not feasting on the spread that the Lord has made when you haven't come in? And so we have to get to the place where we make it a point to come in where the table is spread. We have to make it a point to come in, or position ourselves rather, so that we can receive the things that God would have us to receive. I hope that's plain and clear. And I know some of y'all that's listening to this know that song and heard that song, come on in where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is truly going on at the table. It's something like that. I may have gotten it wrong, but anyway, but if you're not coming to the table, and if you're not understanding that you need to come to the table and you're just happy about the feast is being prepared, then you're never going to connect the two. You're going to be excited about that feast, but you're not going to ever experience the feast because all you're hearing and all you're getting told is God's going to do this, God's going to do that, God's going to do this, God's going to do that. When God has already done, now the other part is you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. And you need to position yourself so that all of those things can come to pass in your life. If that makes sense, say amen. Because I know I've been on that for a little while. But I really want y'all to get that part, because when you can get that part and you can get that revelation, when I continuously say to you, God is still this, you can walk right into what God is. You can walk right into that miracle that we talked about last week. You can walk right into the time being stopped so that God's word can come to pass. You can walk right into the redemption of time so that you can make up for the lost time where you weren't walking into what God told you to do. See, the revelation that God is trying to share with you is basically you just coming to yourself. It's really you coming to yourself like the prodigal son did, and he went back where he was from. He was eating with the pigs. He had positioned his own self because he didn't think he was worthy, and he began to eat with the pigs. And if you know anything about Jewish culture, they despise pigs. But he got himself such to the point where he felt like, man, I couldn't go home. I might as well just dine with the pigs right here and eat with the sloth, be in the sloth, be in the dirty place with them. But when he came to himself, he realized it and came home. And watch this. When he came home, the very thing that he didn't think he was deserving of, the very thing that he didn't think was his anymore, the Father lavished on him because he had simply got back in position. What is it that God can lavish you with and manifest in your life when you get back in position? What is that thing that God can lavish you with when you get back in position? What is that promise that is yet to come to pass? What is the thing that you've been dealing with for years that you need freedom from, that you can get free from as soon as you get in position? What is it? What is that thing? Because I'm telling you, when you get a revelation of God is still these things and you position yourself, you'll walk right into these things that God is still. All right. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about some more of these things. Let's talk about it. God is a waymaker. God is still a waymaker. We've mentioned this, but I want to show you some scripture so that you can see this clearly, because when you got scripture to back it up, it can just further prove the point of what we're trying to drive home. If God is still a waymaker, his word would prove it, and if he's a waymaker, I can understand and see that the way has already been made. So all I got to do is walk that path. Let's go look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 15 and 16. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 15 and 16. And in the New Living Translation, this is what it says. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator and king. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. Do y'all see that? He says, I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters and making a dry path through the sea. Now, I don't know if you can recall this or not, but do y'all remember when God said that he was going to deliver his children and they came to a Red Sea and God used Moses to part the Red Sea. He opened up the Red Sea, and not only did they pass through the Red Sea, but they walked across dry land. See, when God said he was going to deliver his people, there was no obstacle that Moses and the children of Israel was getting ready to face that God didn't already make a way of escape for them. Hallelujah. That should be glorious understanding and revelation to you. When God makes a promise to you, there is no way that he hasn't already made to make sure that that promise is going to come to pass. He's already made the way to make sure that promise is going to come to pass. That's why the scripture says here, I am Israel's creator and king. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. And I want y'all to pay close attention to the wording. He says, who opened a way. So opened means he has already done it. Opened means that it's past tense. Open means that it was already done. Look at it. I am the Lord. Let's go. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator and king. I am the Lord who opened, which means it's already happened. It's already done. He opened a way. And when he opened the way, it made the dry path through the sea. This is the thing that the Lord was sharing with me as I was reading that scripture. See, this is what you got to understand. The thing that he's already done is currently making the path in your life. BJ, what are you saying? I need you to explain that to me. If God has already made a thing, God is simply paving. He's already paved the way. But the making of that path is you walking down what he's already done. That's the present tense. So if he's already opened it, him making a dry path is you simply walking down that path. It's sort of like this. Y'all remember when Jesus had the miracle of the wine and he turned the water into wine? The Bible says Jesus told them to fill those pots to the brim with water. And I believe in that same scripture in John chapter 2, the Bible says, as they went, the water was turned to wine. So when Jesus made the decision that he was going to turn the water into wine, it was already determined that it was going to be wine. But it wasn't until they presently filled the pots and they were going to pour it, making the way, present tense, as they were going about doing it, the Bible says, as they went, the water was turned into wine. So as they were pouring, the water was turning into the wine. I hope y'all are understanding what I'm saying. See, God determines the end from the beginning. So when God declares a thing, he already knows how to get you to that destination. Okay? And so since he already knows how to get you to that destination, you walking down the dry path or him making dry paths for you to take is just you making the decision to get in alignment with where he's telling you to go so that you can receive the thing he's telling you you can receive. So if God is still a way maker and God has already made a way, the question I have for you tonight is, are you going to get in the way? Not get in the way, but are you going to get on the path? Are you going to take the way that God has already laid out for you? Because when you do that, you will experience the things that God would have you to experience. He opened a way, meaning past tense, meaning it's already done, meaning that when he gives a word, it's already taken care of. We saw that last week with Joshua. When he already granted the victory over the Amorites, all Joshua had to do was show up to battle. God sent hail and killed over half the Amorites, so the Israelites didn't even have to kill as many people. So when God declared the victory before Joshua even showed up, it was already a done deal. So what is it that God has said to you that's already a done deal that you just got to get in position for? Glory to God. What is it that God has already said to you that you just got to get, that you just have to get in position for, excuse me, in order to receive? What is that thing? What is it? I want y'all to think about it, because if God is still a way maker, the path has already been set. Let's go look at Isaiah in that same chapter. Let's go look at verse number, Isaiah 43, verse 19. Let's go look at it. Isaiah 43, verse 19, it says, "For I am about to do something new." Okay. "See, I have already begun." Okay. So there it says there, "I've already begun." So when he says, "I'm about to do something new," he's already done something new. "Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." This is very similar to what we just read, but it says it just a little bit differently. It says, "For I am about to do something new." And the new thing is not necessarily new to God, but it's going to be new to you. Why is it going to be new to you? The Bible says here, "See, I've already begun to do this." So this new thing that you're getting ready to experience is going to be new to you, but it's not new to me. It's going to be new to you, but it's not going to be new to me. Why? Because you're the one just getting on the path, figuring and seeing this thing for the first time. I've already gone before you. I've already seen the end from the beginning. So it can be new to me because I've already seen the end of it. I already seen it and experienced it. The only person that hasn't seen it and experienced it is you. So when he's talking about this new thing, he's talking about the thing that he's already done. And then he goes on to say, "Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness and I will create rivers in the dry land." Can you not see what God is trying to tell you? Can you not see what God has already created? When God begins to speak words to you, you have to begin to realize and understand and get a revelation on that he is trying to bring you up here. He's trying to get you to see something past your natural seeing. He's trying to get you to hear something beyond your natural hearing. He's trying to bring you into a realm. He's trying to bring you into a place where the spiritual realm is more real than the natural realm. And when you get to that spiritual realm or see in that spiritual realm, it will begin to affect the natural realm. When you can see into the spiritual realm, when you can hear into the spiritual realm, it will begin to affect the natural realm, and the natural realm will then conform to what you now see in the spirit. The natural realm will then begin to conform to what you see and hear in the spirit. Are y'all getting that? It will begin to conform, and it will begin to look like what's in the spirit. I'm excited about that. Why are you excited about that? Because that's how a believer is supposed to live. A believer is supposed to live based on faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. So when God has given us these words and telling us he's already made a way, he's already begun. The thing that's new to you is not new to me. I've already made the path. Our faith is going to take us to the place to where we actually can see that thing. Our faith is going to take us to the place to where we actually can begin to see the words that God has given us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God has already made a way of escape. What's your way out that you need to take? We know God's already made a way of escape because in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says he's already made a way of escape. The Bible says he's already made a way of escape. So we need to understand that the way that we need to be taking is the way that God has already laid out. Hallelujah. He's already begun it. He's already created the pathway through the wilderness. God made a way through the wilderness and created goodness where there was nothing. Because when you create rivers in a dry wasteland, you basically rearrange and change what used to be into something fresh and brand new. A wasteland that now turns to flourishing, flowing rivers absolutely changes the environment. So think about it. Think about this, y'all. Things that seemed dry, things that seemed dead, things that seemed like they weren't going to happen. God is a master at creating rivers in a wasteland. God is a master at turning around things that seemingly dead and making them alive. God is a master at that. He's a master at that. And the reason why he's a master at that, because he's already seen the end from the beginning. In the beginning, there was darkness upon the face of the deep. He recreated the whole earth. He knows how this thing is supposed to go. The question is, will you get in alignment? He knows how this thing is supposed to go, but will you get in alignment? Will you take the path that he's already laid out for you? Because he is the way maker. He's already made a way of escape, y'all. He's already made the way of escape. What way is God leading you down so that you can take the path that he's trying to get you to take? God is a way maker. God is a way maker. We got two more for tonight, and I'm going to get y'all up out of here. God is still a dream giver. Okay? God is still a dream giver. So we've talked about God is a redeemer of time. We talked about God is still a time stopper. We talked about God is still a miracle worker. We just finished talking about how God is a way maker. God is still a way maker. He is still a way maker. There are still ways for you to get out of the situation that you're in. You don't have to be stuck. There is a way out. So if there's a way out, ask God for the way out and he'll show you. God is still a dream giver. Now, I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this one because I want you guys to see something. God is still a dream giver. Let's go look at Joel chapter 2, 28 and 29 in the New Living Translation. And all the scriptures that we read so far tonight have been out of the New Living Translation. So let's look at Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And let's read this. It says, then after doing all of those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, there it is, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants. And watch this. This is what I want to point out. Men and women alike. Men and women alike. The Bible also says, we're not going to go to it, but the Bible also says in Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, it says the exact same thing. It says the exact same thing. It says that your sons and daughters will prophesy. It also says your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. And in those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants. He was reiterating it because earlier in that scripture, he says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. So it's not just given to the men and it's not just given to the women. The Bible says he will pour out his spirit among men and women alike. So nobody is excluded here. So when we talk about God is still a dream giver, God is still trying to birth things in us. He's still trying to give you a dream. Do y'all remember when you were kids and you had these grandiose dreams of becoming this and becoming that or doing this and doing that? God still is giving us dreams. Now, granted, a lot of us haven't experienced all of the dreams that we had when we were little or experienced, even dreams that we've gotten recently, we haven't experienced them yet. And a lot of times we haven't experienced them because we've allowed the busyness of life, getting a career, settling down with family, causing us to quell and die down our dreams. But God is still a dream giver, and he's not giving you these dreams for no reason at all. He's trying to get you to the point where he can still birth something fresh in you. And when we talk about birthing something fresh in you, it's like going back to when you were little, dreaming about what things could be. So when God is giving you a vision at the age of 50 to start a business, it's not that you can't still start the business. He's still a dream giver. It doesn't matter how old you are. All that matters at that particular point is the vision, excuse me, not the vision, but the dream that God gave you so that you can begin to follow that dream to the place where he wants to take you. Are you listening to me? And I like the way that scripture read in the New Living Translation where it says men and women alike, because a lot of people get caught up on the idea that only men can dream dreams. Because in the scripture, it says the old men will dream dreams. And it says your young men will see visions. But then it says your sons and daughters will prophesy. People begin to make all of those distinctions and they forget the other parts where it says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people and I will pour it out upon men and women alike. So basically what that scripture is saying is I can do that for men. I can do that for women. Men are not the only one dreaming dreams. Women are also dreaming dreams. Young men are not the only people seeing visions. Older men are seeing visions. Younger men are seeing visions. Older women are seeing visions. And younger women are seeing visions. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Sons and daughters aren't the only ones prophesying. Old men will prophesy. Young men will prophesy. Older women will prophesy. Younger women will prophesy. Why? Because the Spirit will be poured out upon all people, men and women alike. Men and women alike. So when we're talking about God is still a dream giver, what is the dream that God has placed on the inside of you that gets you all giddy? What is the dream that God has placed on the inside of you that gets you excited, even though it's not the same thing? It's not the thing you may be doing right now, but you would be excited if you could go about and do that on a daily basis. What is that dream that God steady is showing you on the inside of you that you really want to go pursue? What is that dream? Because God is still a dream giver And if God is still a dream giver, if I get a dream, all I got to do is follow the path in that dream. All I got to do is go down the path that I see in the dream. Are you listening to me? Because God is still a dream giver. BJ, how do you know that God is still a dream giver? How can you even, because I've gotten to the end of my life. How can you tell me that I can still accomplish this and accomplish that? I can tell you can't accomplish it because God wouldn't have given you the dream if he didn't think you can accomplish it. God wouldn't have given you the dream if he hadn't seen the end of it already. God wouldn't have given you the dream and set you up to fail. God doesn't do that. That's not his character. I'm asking you, what is the thing that God is constantly showing you that you would that you have dreams about that you would like to see occur in your life or in your children's life or in your friend's life, whatever that dream may be, because the dream that God has given you, trust and believe, is not just for you. It is for people that is connected to you. It is for people that you're going to come in contact with. So what is that dream? What is that dream? What is that dream that God is so putting in your heart? What is that dream that God has put into your thinking? What is the dream that you actually see at night when you're actually dreaming? What is that dream? Because he is still a dream giver. He is still a dream giver. And we have to remember that. We have to remember that, man, because and the reason why I told y'all it was that way in two different scriptures. One is in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, but also Acts chapter 2. Verses 16 through 18. It's important that I tell you about those two scriptures and then basically saying the same thing, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "This is the third time that I am coming to you. By the testimony of two or three witnesses, must any charge and every accusing statement be sustained and confirmed." Okay, BJ, what does that mean? I'm going to read it to you one more time and I'm going to explain it. This is the third time that I am coming to you. By the testimony of two or three witnesses, must any charge and every accusing statement be sustained or affirmed. Basically, what this scripture is saying, with two or more witnesses, every word will be established. Basically, when you see something in the Bible more than twice, or two plus times, if you see something in the Word of God two plus times, that word is a true word. That's why I'm bringing it up. That word is a true word. That's why oftentimes when we talk about these particular things, I like giving you multiple scriptures, because we let everything be established by two or more. And so if you can only find it once in the scriptures, more than likely you're not going to find it just one time, but that's why it's good to have two or more, because that means that word is established. That means that word is true. That means that word is confirmed. That means that word is going to stand. God is continuing to give dreams. God is continuing to give these dreams. Why? Because we've seen it in both those scriptures, and with those two scriptures or two witnesses, every word will be established. Every word will be established. So how many times, think about this, how many times has God told you the same thing? Think about that. How many times has God told you the same thing? How many times has God told you the same thing? Why? Because God is trying to confirm and sustain a word that he put in you. He's trying to remind you of something. He's trying to keep before you the truth. He's trying to keep before you the truth. And so when the word is established with two or three witnesses, God is trying to remind us, hey, y'all over here, God is still a dream giver. He's still giving dreams over here. And why is that important? Because, again, a lot of people get caught up in the everyday rigmarole. That's why we talked about God is a waymaker. You're not supposed to be stuck. A lot of people have let go of their dreams because they never thought that they can be accomplished. They never thought that they were able to have the assistance necessary to accomplish their dreams. Well, I'm here to announce to you tonight, if God has given you a dream, you have all of heaven backing you. You have all of heaven backing your dreams. Why? Because God gave it to you. Why? Because he's the giver of dreams. Now, I know this is not just talking about dreams, like big dreams for our lives and things of that nature that can make our lives better. It's not just about those dreams. I recognize that. Sometimes God gives us dreams that shows us things about other people. Sometimes God gives us dreams that could be warnings and things of that nature. But I want you to know that God is still the dream giver. So not only is he trying to establish things in your life, and not only can he give you dreams about other people, not only can you see some things about other people, but he's still giving this, all of this is still going on. And it's important to realize that, because a lot of times we don't think the dreams that we have are important. A lot of us don't think that the dreams that we have are important, or we may have a dream and we just may put it to the side. Go back and pay attention to that dream. Sometimes when you wake up, if you have a vivid dream like that, you may need to write it down so that you don't forget it. You may need to write that dream down so you don't forget it. I'm gonna say that one more time. You may need to write that dream down so you don't forget it. Why? Because we're getting ready to talk about this next part that is alluded to in these scriptures, and that is that God is still a vision giver as well. God is still a vision giver as well. And we're going to go to that scripture, and I'm going to show it to you, but listen here. God, with God still giving dreams and with God still giving visions, he's trying to show you something. He's trying to get you to see something. Remember when I said to you, God is trying to get us to come up here and not have us remain where we are? He's trying to get us to the point where we can see where he wants us to see. He's trying to get us to dream big like he wants us to dream, and not just allow our perspective to be that of what we have. Because what we have right now is limited. But when we allow God to continue to give those dreams in our lives and pay attention to them, those dreams are limitless. Those dreams are limitless. And God, again, is trying to bring us up here and not trying to keep us down here. Hallelujah. He's trying to bring us up here and not keep us down here. So God is a dream giver. He's still giving dreams. Let's finish this out, y'all. God is still a vision giver. And as you can see in those scriptures, we already said the old men, young men will get visions. It says the young men will get visions. It says the young men will see visions, rather. It says the young men will see visions. Well, what does the Bible have to say about visions? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians, rather, chapter 12, verse 1. Yeah, this is one of those messages where you're going to need some scriptures on it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1. And this is what it says in the Good News Translation. It says, I have to boast, even though it doesn't do any good, but I will now talk about visions and revelations. Watch this. Given me by the Lord. This is Paul talking, saying that even though it doesn't do any good to boast, I will now talk about the visions and revelations given me by the Lord. So that scripture right there is very, very, very clear. When we say God is still a vision giver, he was still giving visions to Paul, and he's still giving visions to people today. Listen to this. Have any of y'all ever had a day vision? Sometimes people just think of it as what they call it. They just think that daydreaming. Yeah, some people just think that they're daydreaming. But sometimes people can get day visions or visions when you're awake, or you could also get a vision while you're asleep. But listen here, you need to understand that God is still giving visions. God is still giving visions. And visions are things that are supposed to propel you to, it's supposed to take you from one place to another place. Just like a dream is supposed to. When God gives you a dream, he's trying to show you
where you're ultimately going. So when God gives you a vision, it's to show you ultimately where you need to go. God is still giving visions. Visions are God's way of clearing confusion on the path that we need to take. That's an important word right there. That's an important word right there. Visions are God's way of clearing confusion on the paths that we need to take. So BJ, you're telling me basically I can get a dream, but I don't know how that can come to pass. I got a big dream, but the vision is supposed to clear it up so that I can know which path to take. God wants you to see what he wants for your life. That's what a vision ultimately will do. God wants you to see what he wants for your life. That can happen also with a dream, but the vision is going to be clearer. You're going to have instructions. You're going to be able to see certain things so that you can get to your destination. How do I know that? Because in Habakkuk chapter 2, it tells us this. Let's go and look at it. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It says, "Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets, so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled." Hallelujah. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. "If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed." Now, I know many of y'all Christians, a lot of y'all people that have been in the church, have heard this scripture over and over and over again. and y'all have taken that last part. "If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it shall surely take place. It will not be delayed." Y'all see that last part? Look, the vision, when the vision comes, we are supposed to write it down plainly on tablets so that we can get clear instruction and remember that clear instruction. So that the runner can carry it, so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. When God gives you a vision, when God gives you instruction, he wants you to write it down, put it in a note on your phone, put it in a note on your iPad, put it somewhere where you can go back and revisit it so that you can have a clear path of what God has just said to you. Because this vision is for a future time. This vision is for a future time, and it's going to be fulfilled. It describes the end. Remember when I told you, God knows the end from the beginning. So when he gives you a vision, he's trying to show you what the end going to be. When he gives you a word, he's trying to tell you what the end is going to be. He's already mapped it out. Again, God is not trying to figure this thing out. He already has it figured. So when we talk about God is still a vision giver, when we talk about God is still a dream giver, when we talk about God being these things and these last two that we talked about, we have to be on the lookout for this stuff. Because if we're not on the lookout for it, we cannot recognize it when it shows up. Again, we can just think that we were just having a funny dream. We can just think that, that daydream that I had, you know, that was just something that happened. We have to be on the lookout because God is trying to get stuff to us that may come in a dream, that may come in a vision, that may come through somebody else saying something to you. But we're specifically talking right now about visions and dreams. God is still a dream giver. He is still a vision giver. BJ, how do you know? Because in Genesis chapter 15, it talks about how the Lord came to Abram in a vision. God is the God of visions. God is the God of visions. That's how God relays messages to his people. Just like when they had the issue about eating meat in the book of Acts, God showed a vision of a whole bunch of animals on a cloud, I believe. And basically, God said, "Don't call unclean what I've called clean." He showed that vision to clear up the confusion That's what vision does. It clears up the confusion. Hallelujah. It clears up the confusion. How many of y'all want to no longer be confused? How many of y'all want to experience the big dreams that God has shown you? How many of y'all want to walk down the path that God has already made for you? Well, let's get in position. Let's do this. Let's do this. Why? Because God is still giving visions. Pay attention to them. God is still giving dreams. Pay attention to them. God is still making ways because he's already done it. He is already doing these things. God is still a vision giver. He is still a way maker. He is still a dream giver. And due to that, I'm going to pay attention to my dreams. Due to that, I'm going to pay attention to my visions. I'm going to pay attention to the daydreams that I may be having. I'm going to be intentional about finding the way that God wants me to take so that I can do what he's called me to do, so that I can see what he wants me to see, so that I can have what he wants me to have. Glory be to God. If God gave vision to Abraham, and Abraham is the father of many nations, and he's my father of faith, God is still giving visions today. How do I know that? Because Paul got visions. Because in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, I'm going to boast about this, but I need to talk about the visions and revelations that God has given me, the vision and revelation that God has given me. So just like God has given visions to Abram, he's given visions to Paul. He's given vision to you. He's still giving visions. He's still giving dreams. Whether you're a man or a woman, God has given a dream, whatever that dream is. God is still making ways for you. He's still doing it. He's still doing it. And because he's still doing it, we got to be intentional about pursuing it. We got to be intentional about getting in the path that he's called us to so that we can be the kingdom examples in the earth that God ultimately wants us to be. Amen. All right. If that makes sense to you, give God some hearts, give God some likes. Give God some hearts, give God some likes. And I want you to begin to think about somebody who you can share this message with. I want you to begin to think about somebody who you can share this message with, because I believe the more understanding people get of these things, that God is still these things, the more they will just walk into the promises of God. I believe the more word they hear about God is still this, they will walk into the revelation that God would have them to have. And their life will be much better. Their life will be all the better because of this, because of what God is saying to them, because of what God is showing them in the vision, because of what God is showing them in the dream. God making the crooked path straight. I believe this will be an absolute blessing to somebody. So as you're thinking about that individual, if you're on Facebook, you can tag them. If you're on Facebook, you can tag them. If you're on Facebook, you can tag them. If you're on Facebook, you can like, you can share. If you're on YouTube, you can share this in all your group chats. Go ahead and hit that share button, hit that like button on YouTube. Engage with the broadcast because it helps our analytics. Oh, also you can give. It's time to give. I'm getting ready to finish up. It's time to give. So if you want to give, if you want to sow into this ministry, if you want to sow into the word that you just heard, you can give me a Cash App, $ BJ Piggy Ministries. Excuse me. You can sow into BJ Piggy Ministries. Make sure you put your email address in the for section. Yeah, make sure you put your email address in the for section so that we can email you and let you know we received your gift of love. You can give via Tithely. You can give via Giblify. You can give via text to give. You can text give to 844-952-3394. Or you can use these awesome QR codes. You can use that QR code for Givelify, or you can use this QR code for Tithely. Tithely and Givelify. Tithely and Givelify. All you have to do is take a picture. Look like you're getting ready to take a picture of that black barcode right there, and a link will pop up that will take you directly to the giving place on Givelify so that you can give to BJ Piggy Ministries. And the same thing goes with Tithely. If you're watching on TV, you can take a picture, act like you're ready to take a picture, to scan that QR code, and it'll take you directly to Tithely, where you can give to BJ Piggy Ministries securely, safely, so that we can keep an accurate record of your giving there as well. Also, the reason why we want your email address and Cash App is so that we can let you know we received your gift of love and be accountable to you, to your gift, so that we can record your gift so that you can receive a giving statement at the end of the year. All right. So with all that being said, let me run through the announcements real quick. I know last week I didn't go through the announcements. Normally I do, but the Lord has been really getting on me about getting to the teaching. So I wanted to change to put the announcements at the end. So if you haven't done it already, make sure you tag a friend, think about a friend, like, share this message, because I believe that is the first priority as us as believers. We should be sowing the word into people's lives, because the word is the incorruptible seed, and that is what is going to change the life of the people. It is the word of God. If you haven't followed us on all social media platforms, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and Twitter. And if you've already done that, if you've already followed us, if you're on YouTube and you followed us already, invite your friends. Say, hey, you got another page you need to go to subscribe to. Go subscribe to BJ Piggy Ministries. Excuse me. Watch the lives. They come on every Thursday night. Or you can catch up by watching all of the archived messages, because there are plenty to go through. Amen. There are a whole bunch of messages to go through. And if you've been blessed by these messages, I'm sure your friends and family will too. So if you haven't followed us on those pages, follow us. And if you have, invite your family and invite your friends. Listen, we release a podcast every single Monday at 6 a.m. So anywhere podcasts are released, you can find BJ Piggy Ministries. So if you would like to get the podcast, all you got to do is go to Apple, Google, iHeart, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon, Audible, and so many other platforms. But wherever podcasts are released, you'll find BJ Piggy Ministries. And so if you would like to receive that podcast every Monday at 6 a.m., all you got to do is go subscribe to the podcast, and you'll get it every Monday at 6 a.m. We try to release it at 6 a.m. before your week starts, so that you can start your week off right with the word of God. Amen. Listen, if you haven't signed up for daily encouragement emails, we encourage you to do so. They are an absolute blessing to you. You never know when you're going to need them. You never know when you're going to need to be encouraged on a daily basis. So if you would like to be a part of the email community, all you got to do is send us your email and tell us, hey, I want to be a part of that email community. We will add you to the email blast, and you will start getting, if you do it tonight, you will start getting the emails as early as tomorrow morning and so forth, Monday through Friday. From here on out, you will get our emails at 8 o'clock a.m. Monday through Friday. So if you would like to be a part of that, send us an email in direct messenger. Send us an email in direct messenger on any of the social media platforms, or you can email us at bjpiggyministries@gmail.com and say, hey, add me to that email list. I want to be a part of the daily encouragement community. I've been putting it off. I want to do it right now. Last thing, if you would like to become a virtual partner, you can become a virtual partner tonight. All you got to do is email us at bjpiggyministries. If this is a place where you want to continuously get fed, just let us know that. Just let us know that, because we're going to do our part, and we pray you do your part as well. Because when we become in partnership with each other, we bring our part to the table and you bring your part to the table. And if you've been blessed by it, and if God has been calling you to become a partner with this ministry, don't hesitate any longer. Go ahead and do it. If you have any prayer requests, you can send them the exact same way. Or if you have a testimony, you can send them the exact same way as well. We love praying for people. We love hearing the testimonies, because God is an awesome, awesome, good God. Amen. Last thing, if you guys I want to remind you guys that at the beginning of the year, we always fast. So the next 2 weeks, I'm going to remind you guys that we're going to fast starting on January the 3rd. So if you would like to join the fast for the month of January, feel free to do so. We're going to be doing the Daniel fast. And so I encourage you to do it. I encourage you to Daniel fast so that you can get clear on what God would have for you in 2024. Amen. Because that's the purpose of fasting. And if you don't know what the purpose of fasting is, go to our Facebook page. Go to where you're watching right now. Go back to last year or 2 years ago and search the fasting teaching, because we did an in-depth teaching on what fasting is. And we talked about prayer, all of that stuff going together. So, yeah, if you want to understand what fasting is, go check those messages out. But we will be fasting in January. All right. So beginning on January the 3rd. So I will remind you guys next week again about the fast. So the Daniel fast, if you want to know what all is included on the Daniel fast, just look up the Daniel fast. Basically, it's veggies, fruits and veggies. That's basically what it is. All right. Excuse me. If all hearts and minds are settled, then we're going to get up out of here. I'll see y'all next week. I love y'all. Peace.
If you would like to connect with our ministry, please email us at bjpiggyministries@gmail.com or follow us at BJ Piggy Ministries on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or YouTube. This podcast is made possible by the support of friends and partners like you. If you'd like to show your financial support, you may do so via Cash App, Tithely.com, or Givelify.com by searching for BJ Piggy Ministries. Thank you.
I tread on serpents and scorpions on a daily. I stand and walk in the authority that he gave me.